the life of faith in our people who have gone back into the world or gone back into a life of sin or gone back to the old ways. We call them backsliders, right? People who are backslidden. Now, this is a picture. This is a picture of a slide and a person who's, backsliding. And when you look at it, you might tend to say, "Hey, that's not me." You know, I would not do that. I would, slide in a, proper way. But the book of Jeremiah captures this word backsliding. There are not many books in the Bible that uses, where we see this word backsliding. The book of Jeremiah, we see there are 12 places in which we see the word backsliding. Now, interesting, different versions actually miss or capture this word. The NIV says four times in the book of Jeremiah, but in the NKJV, there are 12 times this word backsliding is mentioned. And out of that, 6 times in the 3rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I believe God has a word for us, and when we say backsliding, the first response is, I'm not there. I'm fine. But as we read, the book of Jeremiah, as we see, there are so many things that are relevant for us that will help us in this life of faith, that will help us not to be in that state of backsliding. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that today's word will come alive, will come afresh, and will minister to us, and will help us to move forward, Master. May none of us be in this state of backslidden, state of backsliding, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would like to talk about six pictures of backsliding. The first is, how many of me to the Kathipara Junction, the one just before the airport, from here if you go, it's past the airport. Now, before they built that junction, it was just 4 roads, so it was very easy. But once they built that flyover with the clover turns and all that, a lot of people were confused. And the initial days, people would take the wrong exit. So if you took the wrong exit instead of, going from here to Gindi, you would end up in Ashok Nagar or KK Nagar, and then you'll have to come back all the way. So that's a loss of like 20 minutes. When we were in Dubai, 1998, first time when we went there, first time meaning, within a few months, I had taken a car and I could drive, but the roads were, the speeds are very different. Here you drive, you can go slow, you can even stop on the road. There you've got to, whiz past. And then you see suddenly there are 4 lanes and suddenly you'll have to change the lane, go to the... And the first time when our family came, we were taking them to the hospital for the checkup and all that. And 3 times I missed the exit. And by the time you come back, it's about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. So in life, if you miss an exit, it's not 10 minutes, half an hour. But in life, when we miss exits that God has for us, it can be years. It can be years. And it's very important for us to be careful not to miss the exits. God is a God who guides us. God is a God who guides us. The Holy Spirit is here for us to know and be guided. The Word of God is here for us to be guided. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God together, they guide us in our spiritual life. But when we are not keen, when we are not alert, when we are not listening, there are times we miss out God's signposts. Times when we are supposed to turn, we don't turn. Times when we are supposed to go straight, we take a turn. And then we miss out. And when we miss out, we lose a lot of time. We lose a lot of blessings of God. We lose a lot of things that God had in store for us, and we missed it. We missed it. The second one, I call it the reverse gear. The reverse gear. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 24. It talks about those people who went backward, not forward. They went backward, not forward. All of us would like to progress. How many of you would like to go, not progress, would like to go back? Everyone wants iPhone. That was the latest iPhone. How few want to use that old ring phone? Everyone wants to progress. But, the Bible says these people went backward. It's like this game, Snake in the Ladder. You know, you cast the dice and, you're close to 100, which is your final point. And just at 99, there's one snake. You go land up in 99, it brings you back to 3 or 4. Then you have to start all over again. You know, backsliding is exactly like this. We all need to be somewhere. And very often we look at, in society, people look at status, acquisition, money, bank balance and all that. But the Lord is looking at us in our spiritual life. Where are we in our spiritual life? Are we progressing? Actually, in spiritual life, there's no stagnation also. Either you go in front or you are on reverse gear. And these people, the Bible says, instead of going forward, they've gone backward. Many people are living in regret. If only I did not leave that city. If only I had remained there. If only I didn't leave this company. If only I had stayed in this company, I would have been somebody. That's regret. That's regret. And backsliding is living in regret. Living in regret. Oh, I missed this. I missed that. Wastelands, chapter 17, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 6. This is like, like these cacti. Cacti in wastelands. A lot of people are living in a desert land. Desert wasteland is a place where there's no water, where there are no trees, where there are no rains, and it's a kind of a dry life. A lot of people are saying, oh, life is so dry. Nothing very interesting. Everything is just the same. It's mundane. Yes, I'm going to work. Yes, I'm going to college or school. But there's nothing exciting happening. Wasteland. And then there's an interesting picture in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 7. Chapter 8, verse 7. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times. And the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow observe the time of the coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Talks about birds in Palestine, which they see in a particular time of the year. We are living very close to a beautiful bird sanctuary, Vedandangal. How many of you have been to Vedandangal? Yeah, a lot of us went for a church picnic a few years ago. And I think the time has come, we should plan for one. Because from November 1st, the birds start coming. Birds from 6,000 miles away, places like Alaska, they fly 14 weeks. And they land up here in this beautiful sanctuary. And they do this every year. Why? Because it's cold in Alaska. They want a warm climate. And they come here for nesting. And they come, lay eggs, hatch them. And they fly the birds, the young ones, back to their home country. Every year this happens. The Bible says, these people know the appointed times. Know the appointed times. And this is very important. Believers should know the times where we are living in. We are living in the end times. We are living in a time which is terrible. Everybody is saying terrible, coming of the Lord and all that. But I'm saying, these are the times of revival. The end times where God is going to pour His Spirit on all flesh. And that is all of us. And at this time, we should be like the birds. The birds are sensitive. They have an instinct. We are people of God who should have what I call as the Holy Spirit instinct. Holy Spirit instinct. Holy Spirit instinct will know when to stay, when to move. Holy Spirit instinct will tell us which places to go, which places to not go also. Holy Spirit instinct will tell us whom to be with and whom not to fellowship with. These are times, and we have to be careful. And in this life of faith, if we have to progress, if we have to, not backslide, we need to know the times. And these birds knew the times. And sadly, Jeremiah's book, it's amazing. I want you to read this, because it's very important. Jeremiah, And again, why is this backsliding written only in the book of Jeremiah, not in the previous books? It's there in Hosea also, Ezekiel also, but not in the earlier books. Because Jeremiah's time is like our time. Jeremiah lived and prophesied in the time of five kings, the time of Josiah, 20 years, and again in the another 22 years, 42 years, the last part of the kingdom of Judah, he prophesied. And the kingdom of Judah was going to come to an end. And he was prophesying, saying, people, if you don't repent, if you continue in this backsliding, you are going to go into captivity. You will go into captivity. You will go into exile. Judgment will fall upon this city. Even this temple will be destroyed. The walls will be burnt. And he's saying, if you remain in this state of backsliding, you will be a part of it. And this caution was not just judgment or saying this is going to happen. This caution, and every time where this word backsliding appears, it is God saying, look, I want to win you back. I don't want you to be backsliding. I want you to be in a position of moving forward. And you will do that if you knew and understood the times. And then the last one, or the fifth one, is doom. Doom. This is like, you know, the Lord saying, I will bring on this city all the towns, all the doom that I prophesied, that has been predicted in this book. And it happened. And it happened. You know, Jeremiah 52 chapters, he goes on. I mean, it's amazing. It's three times Nebuchadnezzar came and took the people. Part by, you know, three phases, three stages, and finally the destruction happened. And through all this time, he was prophesying, even before the time, right from the time of Josiah. Josiah's time was the time of revival. His time was the time where he was the last king where there was some revival. People were just going astray. But when he heard that this is God's word, we saw in a few weeks ago, when he found the book of the Lord in the temple, you know, he tore his garments. He said, my God, all these things will happen and we have been going astray. We have not been following the Lord. What should we do? He heard, he asked, he repented, and God sent a revival. That's the kind of time that we are living in. You know, doom is coming. Destruction is coming. But the Lord is calling the church, saying, you should not be part of the destruction. You should not be part of the doom. You should not be part of the judgment. We are people called to receive the grace of God. We are people called to experience the grace of God. We are people called to experience and transfer this grace to the people around us. The next one is a picture of a treacherous wife. And I want us to read that passage. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 6 to 10. And the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she has done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. You know, in 722 BC, the kingdom of Israel went captive to the Assyrian kingdom. You know, they went captive. Assyrian king came and captured the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. So this is that sister Israel. Now, verse 8. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet, her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. God wanted his children, his church, his people, Israel, to be like a wife wedded to him. In the New Testament, the church is called the Israel of God. And the church is called the bride of Christ. the bride of Christ. Last week at the wedding, it was such a beautiful picture. They had the wedding in a huge convention center, and everyone was assembled, and you know, the bridegroom had come and he was there in the first row. We were also in the first row on the bride's side, and then the bride was coming with the music being played, and you know, beautifully dressed, and what a beautiful picture it was. And this boy, the bridegroom, he turned around and, you know, I was watching him look. Oh, you know, his mouth open, literally. Wow, the bride is coming. That is the picture that God has, you know. God wants to see the bride, beautiful, undefiled, virgin, you know, protected and prepared for the Lord. The Bible says, Israel and Judah, they were treacherous. They played the harlot. They played the harlot. Now, this is, you know, so backsliding is not just, you know, those people who have ended in doom. You know, we were talking about one person who had left the life of faith. He was a leader. But today, he's in a, you know, very bad shape. And he also said that person had a heart attack and he's in hospital. Physically also terrible. Devastated situation. Backslidden situation. So the Lord is saying, He does not want us to be in that situation. Missing the exits, missing God's opportunities, going on reverse gear, being in a desert land, wasteland, missing out the times when we should have moved, living in doom, being an unfaithful wife. God does not want us to be in this situation. You know, Book of Hosea, and that's a word for Israel. Book of Jeremiah, it's a word for Judah. Both use the same words, which is harlotry. Turning away from God and following the world or sinful pleasures is idolatry. We may not go and worship idols. Today is Diwali. Our Hindu friends, today is Diwali. They burst crackers, they celebrate, but they have their own picture, but still idolatry, worshipping idols. The people of Israel looked at the people outside and followed them. The Lord is cautioning us, saying, look, don't look at the people outside. God wants us to be the virgin daughter, prepared for the groom, prepared for the Lord. So, what is the solution? There are four things I'd like to talk about. Number one, chapter 3, verse 22. The Lord calls this backsliding a disease. It's not an occurrence, it's not an event. He says, return your backsliding children and I will heal your backslidings. Healing. It's not, you know, you do five things and you come out of it. No, no, no. Backsliding is a disease. It's a sickness. We need to actually accept that. You know, a lot of us will remain in that state of, you know, static state without progress if we think that, oh no, it's okay. It's okay. Everybody is like that. No, no, no. We need to see it as a disease. Again, in Hosea 14:4, he says, I will heal your disease. I will heal your disease. I will heal your disease. And the Lord said, there are two things that these people did. Chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. That is our disease. Our disease and our sickness that is causing this backsliding. Number one, we have forsaken the springs of living water. Jesus is the spring of living water. Jesus is the one who gives us living water. Jesus is the fountain of living water. And we have forsaken Him. Forsaking the Lord, we will remain in a dry and thirsty land. You know, land that has no water, land that has no life. The Lord is saying, turn back to me. Turn back to me. Recognize me. Actually, the Bible says in Psalm 19, who can discern his errors? The answer is no one. Only the Holy Spirit can put in our heart a lamp, a light that will say, hey, this way that you're going is wrong. And when we forsake the living water, Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I'm going and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. We are forsaking the Holy Spirit also. Holy Spirit today is our living water. Holy Spirit today is our fountain of life. Holy Spirit today is the one whom we have to embrace. And if we forsake Him, He is a gentleman. He will not force His way into us. He is a gentleman. He will speak once, twice, and the third time He will remain silent. And many people's lives, backsliding is there because we have silenced the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit is not speaking. And the second thing He says, we have hewn our own cisterns. Cisterns, that is vessels or temporary storages that were outside the house of people in Israel. And those cisterns, those barrels were broken, cracked, that could not hold water. That could not hold water. If we are, this is what we call as our own way. You know, Isaiah 53:6, it says, everyone, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to his own way. We have chosen a way that is our own, that is not the Lord's. Now, there's a black dog outside. Actually, if you can notice it. 2 days ago, I saw that dog in a hot sun. It was sleeping, and all around it, there were 4 or 5 puppies, and all huddled together. And it was a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight, you know. They're all such a close mother and child, family. Now, 2 days later, I saw no puppies, no father, just that dog. And it had such a forlorn look. You know, when I saw that, I said, 2 months back, there were so many dogs going after this dog. So many male dogs, constantly, night and day. Now, where is the father? No father. No father. The picture of this dog is a picture of a harlot going with many men. Whenever, 50 years back, if one woman went with a man before marriage, she was called a prostitute, a harlot. If a woman, married woman, was going with other men, she was called a prostitute, even those days. Today, people going with many men, they don't even call any. That's the fad of the day. Sin has been diluted. The standard of holiness has been compromised. Unless we see this as a disease, unless we see sin as a disease, we will be like that black dog. We need to actually see sin as a sickness and ask for the healing of God. So the first solution is to actually see where we are. If we say we are okay, we are not progressing, it's okay. We missed the road, it's okay. Actually, it's okay. The Lord is waiting for us to come back to Him. But if we see this as a disease, then only we'll come back to Him. A lot of people don't see it as a disease. Busyness. That's the devil's subtle way of diverting us away from the Lord. Many people don't have time for the Lord. He's saying, Harry uncle, he's lying in bed for months together. But suddenly he says, thank you, Jesus. What is that? That's a gratitude. That's a great, grateful heart. We're not able to say thank you. It's a disease. You're not able to come for a prayer meeting. It's another disease. It's a church disease. Forget that. If you're not able to pray before you start your day, if you're not able to hear God's voice before you start your day, if you become so busy, that's a sickness. And we need healing. And I'm telling you, the world will put, there are so many things that the world will try to give in our life to take us away, draw us away from the Lord. draws away from the Lord. The Lord wants us to be drawn to Him. But the world wants us, the devil wants us to be drawn away from the Lord. Something, somehow or the other. And He's got different techniques for different people. Different techniques for different people. And we're all giving in to Him. The Lord says, no. See this backsliding as a disease. See this backsliding as a disease. Number two, return to the love of your husband. Return to the love of your husband. Chapter 3, verse 22, he says, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. I will heal your backsliding. You know, we need to see, come back to Jesus as the one who heals our backslidings. We come back saying, Lord, forgive my sins. A lot of people, I had Catholic friends all around me. As I grew, you know, so I grew in Santom in Chennai, and you know, every Friday my friends will go for confession. They'll go for confession, and they'll go. There'll be a priest behind the inside, and they will say what all they did on during the week. And Saturday morning they are back with, and we are all back into the same naughtiness. All that we did, we continue to do. That is actually, that's why he says. He says, these people come to me but with pretense. Verse 10 he says, all these treacherous Judah has not turned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord. We come back. When we are in a crisis, we come to God. You know, this is sickness. This is sickness. But the Lord is saying, come to me. Come to the love of the husband and receive the healing. The Lord is the husband who forgives. Lot of husbands don't forgive. You remember what the wife did 20 years back, 30 years back, and remind them also. But our God is a forgiving God. He's a healer. He'll come. He says, come with all your wounds. Just know that you have a disease, but come and I will heal you, he says. I will heal you. That's Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6. He says, yes, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All this sickness, all this sin, all this death, all this separation, all this past, he says, God has laid upon Jesus. That's why he says in verse 5, he says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord wants us, he says, come, return to me, I will heal your backslidings. And today we are so privileged. The people in Jeremiah's time, they did not return. They did not receive the healing. They went into captivity. But we are living in a time when Jesus has taken our iniquity on the cross of Calvary. And all we have to do is say, Lord, yes, I am sick. Yes, I am backslidden. Yes, I missed the way. Yes, I have lost it. Yes, I missed it. I want to come back to you. And receive that healing. Receive that healing. You know, it's interesting. Verses 6, 8, 11, 12 and 14. In the NKJV, it's backsliding. But in NIV, it says faithless. Without faith. Without faith. That is what the Lord wants us to do. Saying, come and receive your healing. This is an act of faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The second part it says, repentance from dead works and faith toward God. This is a basic foundation doctrine. He says, repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Faith in the Lord who will heal us and that we receive the healing. This is coming back to the husband, love of the husband who is a healer. And our backslidings will heal. Number one, when we see it as a disease. And number two, we come to him and receive a healing. And we'll receive a healing when we confess and say, yes, Lord, this is my state. I'm not moving forward. I missed a way. I've lost an exit. I'm on reverse gear. Please see me. I'm desperate. I need help. The Lord says, I'm your healer. I'm your healer. But Israel didn't come to that state. And many Christians in the church, they're not coming to that state. They say, let me go on as I am. The Lord is saying, no, Harvesting Church, you are not to be a backslider. You are to be a one who is progressing towards the mark of Christ, what He has called you to do. And every one of us will be in that fulfillment mode, not in the backslidden mode. May we say, Lord, heal me and come back and receive that healing. Number three, it's again returning to the love of the husband. Returning to the love of the husband. And he says in chapter 3 verse 14, return of backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you. This is our Lord. We need to see our Lord Jesus Christ as the bridegroom. We need to see ourselves as married to Him. We need to see ourselves as one flesh in Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Me in Christ. Made alive. Risen with Him. Seated in the heavenlies. That is in Christ. That is being married to Him. And for 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says, I betroth you to one husband. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling the Corinthian church. Corinthian church, you know, everything was up in the open. They were living immoral lives. They were living in having divisions. They were having the favorite leaders. There was no unity. And to them he's saying, look, I betroth you to one husband. Betroth you to one husband. And here he's saying, the Lord is saying, return. I am married to you. I'm married to you. When we got married, 25th January 1988, I booked a ticket to Delhi, to Shimla, the very next day. 25th we got married. Next evening, 26th, we were in the train. And a lot of you can't imagine what kind of train that was. Because those days there used to be first class compartments and there used to be coupe. That means only two people. So the next 36 hours, just Dulcie and me, no phone, no visitors, no outsiders, no relatives, no friends, nobody. Just us, two of us cooped in one place. Small place. That is being married. And the Lord wants us, you know, healing, receive the healing and come and be with Him, cooped up in one place, alone with Him. That is the walk. That is, you know, that is the restoration. And the Lord longs for it. Lord longs for it. Shut yourself away from people and shut yourself with Him. You're married to Him. And experience His love. Experience His love. The Lord wants us to do that. You know, this is a sure way to come out of backsliding. A sure way to come out of backsliding is to know the love of God. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Have I drawn you. The Lord has extended His arms and around you and says, I love you. Feel my embrace. Know my love. Sit with me. A lot of people cannot sit with Him. This is the reason. You know, this is why we are backsliding. We are not able to see His love. Because we are not able to be with Him for 5 minutes. Forget 36 hours. 1 hour. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? And 1 hour is not to come and give your, you know, shopping list. 1 hour is just come and be and feel His embrace. Feel His warmth. Feel the Father's love. Jesus says, I love you. Children, Jesus is saying, I love you. And Jesus wants you to know His love as Daddy who loves you so much. And finally, return to the husband's foreknowledge. To the husband who has knowledge of all that is going to happen. You know, the first group of exiles were there in Babylon. And Jeremiah is sending word to him, saying, don't worry, live well, build cities, pray for the place where you are in. I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future and a hope. Plans for a future and a hope. This is the God in Isaiah 46 verse 9 and 10, he says, I am God, there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times things that are not yet done. God is a God of foreknowledge. We have not gone ahead. The years ahead, we do not know what is going to happen, where we are going to be, what things are going to happen. We don't have a clue. But God knows. He says, He declares the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. That's why He's a God of foreknowledge. He knows what's going to happen. He knows your future. A lot of people have no faith because we don't know what the future is going to hold. We want to see. We want somebody to say, this is going to happen. And then we say, okay, no. We live by faith, not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. But God is a God who knows the unseen. And God is a God who knows the things we hope for. And He's saying, come to Me. Returning to the One, the Husband who knows the future. That is returning, you know. We need to come back and see, I am God, there is no other. We need to know the Lord saying, He is God, there is no other. He knows the future. A lot of young people struggle with this. But a lot of young people say, Lord, I know You know my future. I know You know my future. And You will lead me. You will do only the good things for me. A lot of people have taken wrong exit because they have not trusted in the Lord who knows the future. They have not given their lives into the hand of the Lord who knows the future. Give your life in the hands of God. Say, Lord, I surrender to You. I give my life to You. I trust You. You are able to do far more abundantly than I can ask or imagine. I know that You are a God of foreknowledge. You will do only good for me. I will trust You. If you will do that, the Lord is saying, I am your husband. I am your husband. Last week when we were in Trivandrum, Dalzi was staying. There was another couple who were traveling with us. And when we got out, she was just talking to them and she said, all these places I don't do anything, I just follow Him because He knows where to go. And I know where to go because I've been to Trivandrum so many times. I know where to get on, I know where to go, I know where to get the taxi, I know the route also, I know the places also. And I can know so many things. So she's just given over saying, He knows where to go, I just go with Him. This is what the Lord wants us to do. He knows where to take me. The Lord knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He's a God of foreknowledge. And He's saying, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for a future and a hope. You know, Paul is saying in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 of the book of Philippians. He's saying, forgetting all that is behind. And he's leaving everything behind. All that happened, he says, forgetting all and I'm leaving it all behind. And I'm pressing on to the mark. Philippians was a place where he was beaten up. Philippians is a place where he was thrown into prison. Philippi was a place where he was sent out. He said, leave the city and leave and go. He was sent out of that place. Saying, forgetting all that. And where is he? He's in a Roman jail. He's saying, forgetting all that. You know, he's in a situation which is not very comfortable. He's in a situation where he's in bondage, no freedom to go, move around. But sitting there, he's saying, I press on to the mark. Because I know who holds my future. I know who holds my hand. I know who, and I'm committing myself. I'm committing myself to Him. That is our confidence, people of God. Faith. Faith in the One who knows the future. Knows the future. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. He who began a good work in you, He will bring it to completion. He'll bring it to completion. That's what Philippians says. Romans 6, he says, He will bring it to completion. You know, we hold on to this husband who will bring us to the fulfillment of all the plans and the purposes that He has for us. God has plans for us. God has purposes for us. And He wants us to believe. You know, backsliding should never be in our life. Never be in our life. Many people, they say, I'm not doing anything. You know? That's also good. If you're not doing anything, that's bad. But if you're not doing anything but waiting in presence of the Lord with the husband, wives with the husband, husbands with the wives, but both of you with Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. In His presence, that is good. That's good enough. In fact, that is better than anything else. Better than anything else. I know people who have not moved, who lost jobs. And what are you doing, brother? I'm waiting on the Lord. What are you doing waiting on the Lord? If they're just going around waiting on the Lord, saying, No. They're just in the presence of God. That's the best thing to do. And God will take you to the place, to the wherever He wants you to. Wherever He wants you to. Actually, that's a good time. That's a good time. Sometimes God puts stops in our life. And when He puts stops in our life, we need to know, like the birds, who know the migration times. When to go, when not to go. When I preached this message in Coimbatore, one of the churches there, many years later that pastor, said, I remember this message that you preached. Then in my heart suddenly a thought came. I hope everybody didn't leave the church. Migration. Talking about migration. We need to know when to stay. We need to know when to move. When I said migration, everybody wants to go to US. Everybody wants to go to UK. People from outside come and say, oh, they made it big, we are sitting here. No. God has appointed a place and a time for every one of us. And I believe that, you are all seated here. 10 years later, you might be in different parts of the world. God will take you. And 10 years later, there may be different people here. That's not the point. It's not the migration point. We need to know to be in God's presence, enjoying His love. The way to come out of backsliding, number one is know that it's the disease. Number two, know the love of God that heals. And receive that healing. Healing love of God. Healing love of God. Number three, enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy. He says, I'm married to you. Enjoy that marriage with Him. And number four, put your trust in the hands of the Lord, who will lead you to where He wants you to be. Will you make that decision today? Will you make that commitment today? I know that many of you you have questions about what you're doing right now. I want you to just make this prayer and say, Lord, yes, I have questions. Maybe I don't know the future. None of us know the future. But one thing, we know that the one who holds the future, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has given us the Holy Spirit. And can we say, yes, Lord. Lord, heal me of this disease. The disease of not even knowing that I am backslidden. Lord, heal me. Heal me. Ask for a healing. And He will heal you. Receive a divine touch. Today I'm praying that you will receive a touch from the Lord that will take you out of your slumber. He'll move you to where you have to be. The church is moving into a time of a revival. I believe that. And it's very important for us as individuals not to be in a backslidden state. To rise up. Enjoy the love of Christ. Receive His healing. Enjoy the love of Christ. And commit ourselves into the hand of the one who knows our future. Heavenly Father, I know there are decisions that are being made. I know, Master, your people are saying, yes, Lord, me. Heal me. Yes, Lord, lead me. Yes, Lord, I want to, Master, spend hours in your presence. Lord, I pray that you will receive this commitment. This commitment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Even before we have the benediction, I feel the Lord say, those of you who want to really surrender your lives back to God again, He's saying, I am the Lord that heals you. And I feel David should just go down and pray for you. Stand up wherever you are. God will heal you. God will deliver you, whatever the circumstance.
If you want specific prayer, please stand where you are. I'll come and lay my hands and pray and bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
can heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Your word heal my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Namana Shandara Vaki Yalaka, Daramani Yanaka, Ravani Asandara Bokara Yalaka. Breakthrough, chains break, bronze doors, iron gates break, love fall apart, Varaketiya Katatroki Yalaka. Receive a healing, receive a deliverance, receive a breakthrough in your life. No more stagnancy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You have to run with horses. No, Rabakariya Sandara Baki, Ramaka, Shandara Baki. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Takara Sandariyala Karam. Sariyala Karamina Karam. Ya Rabakariya Sandariyala Karam. Amen. Yes, the career.
Don't let the things of this world. It's not worth it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. I will give up nations for you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep us all from backsliding, progressing, moving forward. Thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please join us for the coffee fellowships.